Good morning, gentlemen. Today we're going to be studying John chapter 19, verse 1 through 22. I'm going to start off with reading the first couple verses in chapter 19. It says this: Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they slapped him in his face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, gathered there, look, I am bringing him out. To you to let you know that I find no basis for charge against him. The Roman whips in those days were made out of leather straps, and embedded in the end of those straps were balls, metal balls, and bone fragments. And sometimes they use short metal pieces embedded in the end of the strap. These whips were designed to inflict severe wounds and literally tear the flesh off of people. Jesus had chunks of his flesh torn off his body. His entire body was ripped to pieces beyond recognition. And in Isaiah, prophesied in Isaiah 52, verse 14, and this is in the NIV, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being. And his form marred beyond human likeness. This is a true description of how brutal the Romans' flogging of 39 lashes was. And also, it talks about the horrific pain that our Savior must have gone through. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, in the Amplified, in quotes, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Our sins are so horrible to God the Father in his sight that he allowed his son Jesus to go through this incredible pain and agony. There was no other way to fulfill the demand that God the Father had as a result of the law. The law had to be completed. And there was no other sacrifice but his son, Jesus Christ, who was a perfect man and lived a perfect life. And therefore, he became that spotless, innocent Lamb of God that he might take our sins away. Jesus truly was perfect, pure, and a holy sacrifice. Now you look at the soldiers, the Roman soldiers mocked Jesus. And I speculate, although it doesn't say this, that the Roman soldiers were not gentle when they put the crown of thorns on his head. They probably smashed it on his head, and so he had blood dripping down his face. And then you see the Romans dressing him in purple, which obviously is symbolizing royalty, symbolizing a king. And then they mockingly said, "Hail, King Jesus." And what that was, it was corresponding to "Hail, Caesar." And Caesar considered himself a god, and I think other people in the Roman Empire considered him as a god. How often do we mock Jesus through our fiery tongues and our impure thoughts and our actions? We are not without guilt when it comes to our expressions of our tongue and our actions and our thoughts. We too have denied Christ and mocked Christ. So look at the world, how they mock Jesus. They mock him through their ideology of multiple genders. It's okay to have sex before marriage. Abortion is acceptable. There is no ultimate truth. Jesus is not God, and it's okay to worship multiple gods. In verse 4, which I read a little bit earlier, Pilate is proclaiming that Jesus is innocent. He brought out Jesus, and the Romans had dressed him in the robe of purple and the crown of thorns. And he came out, and Pilate was hoping that just the flogging would be enough to satisfy the Jewish chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees and all the other Jewish leaders. So he proclaimed that this man is innocent. Let's look at verse 5. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man," or "Behold the man" in other translations. What does that mean? In the Greek, it is anthropos, which means a man, humankind. It's used of a human being in contrast with an animal or a deity. Now, the Son of Man in the Old Testament usually referred just to a human being, but in the New Testament, the Son of Man was exclusively used to refer to the Messiah, Jesus, our Messiah. So, was Pilate saying he is just a man, or was he saying that Jesus Christ was God? Hear or behold in the Greek means to look, pay attention, suddenly emphasizing the fact that this man is important. Now, Pilate really didn't believe in Jesus. But he did hear of his works, and therefore he had respect for this man, and he knew he was a man of innocence. And then, when the chief priests saw Jesus in the purple robes and the crown of thorns, they, of course, immediately thought of the fact that he was proclaiming that he was a king. And of course, they rejected that and they shouted, "Crucify him," as it says in verse 6. And I'll read that. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate's response, want to crucify an innocent man?" And this is the third time that he said that he was innocent. And actually, the first time is in verse in chapter 18, when he first proclaims him as innocent. And let's go to verse 7 through 11. And it says this. But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to the law, he must die because he claims to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." When the Jewish leaders saw Jesus, when they saw Jesus and they said he was claiming to be God, Pilate had great fear grip him. Pilate was a very superstitious man. He believed that Jesus was a god, small g, and he was like a half man, half god, which was very typical of the Greek gods in those days of this, false gods and these images of half man, half god. Pilate was bewildered that Jesus had no response when he was having all these accusations against him from the Jewish leaders. Pilate claimed to have power to crucify and to set Jesus free. But Jesus' response that Pilate had no power or authority over him if it wasn't given to him through God. So Pilate acted against his own judgment. He capitulated with the Jewish desire to crucify Jesus because he was afraid of a riot, wanted to please the Jews. He sinned, but the Jewish leaders' sin were far greater, because they willfully and maliciously intended to kill Jesus. Let's look at verses 12 through 16. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Pilate wanted to set Jesus free, but he feared the Jews and he feared Caesar. The Jewish leaders were very deceptive, stating that Pilate wouldn't be a friend of Caesar if he let Jesus go. But the Jews hated Romans' rule, so they're being very two-faced. Pilate had to make a choice between between Jesus and the world. He feared Caesar more than he feared God. Typical of the world being deceptive and using fear as a weapon to accomplish their agenda. Have you ever twisted the truth to manipulate another person so that you can get your way? I know I have. I know that I've lied many times because I've been ashamed of my actions, and my pride has gotten in the way and was not willing to admit that because it made me look bad. And I'm sure there you might have done that in your own lives. Pilate feared losing people's favor, causing problems for himself, and losing his position and security. Have you ever worried about what people think of you if you share Christ with them? Fear of losing a friend? Fear of getting fired from your job because you share Jesus and you speak the truth? I know I have. In Proverbs 29:25, it says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." That's something that we all need to meditate on, that we need to only fear God and not fear what man can do to us. So Pilate brought Jesus to the judgment seat and he said, "Here is your king." And the Jewish leaders responded, "Take him away, crucify him, crucify him." Again, Pilate said, "Do you want to crucify your king?" Proclaiming, this was Pilate again proclaiming his innocence. He knew that they were jealous of his popularity, of Jesus's popularity, power, respect, honor, and the authority that he had. While he was on the judgment seat, his wife warned him to have nothing to do with Jesus. In Matthew 27, verse 19, it says, "While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message, 'Don't have anything to do with this innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him.'" Again, Pilate was warned, and he knew that this was an innocent man, but he allowed public pressure to fold and to give the Jews what they desired. In verse 14 and 15, it says, "It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. 'Here is your king,' Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, 'Take him away, take him away, crucify him.' 'Shall I crucify your king?' Pilate asked. 'We have no king but Caesar.' The chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to him and crucified him. And I repeated that because it's important. Again, you see Pilate proclaiming that here is your king. And the Jewish leaders responding, you know, take him away, crucify him. And Pilate's response again was, shall I crucify your king? Destroy your king? We have no king but Caesar, was the response of the Jewish leaders and the chief priests. The chief priests and all the priests and the Jewish leaders had utter jealousy and envy of Jesus's popularity, his power, his respect, his honor, his authority, that all his followers had for Jesus. They no longer were the center of attention or respected as the authority of scriptures and religious leaders. Therefore, their whole position in society as leaders of the synagogues and people of authority in the Word of God were destroyed. So they hated Jesus because he exposed their hypocrisy, all the religious rules and regulations, which they didn't keep themselves, but they expected the congregation to keep all the rules and regulations. So it truly threatened their livelihood. In Luke chapter 19, verse 14, in the NIV, but his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king, end quote. And then John chapter 1, verse 11 in the King James, it says, he came upon his own, and his own received him not. Then in verse 16, Pilate finally succumbs to the chief priest's request to release Jesus to be crucified. And then verse 17 and 18, it says, so the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Jesus had to carry his own cross, even in his utter weakness. And after that horrific flogging, it was a burden beyond what we can understand. And of course, eventually, after falling many times, Simon carried the cross to where he was crucified. I was in Israel many years ago in Jerusalem, and the cliff where Jesus was crucified, he was crucified on top, but the face of the cliff had this perfect image of a skull. That is why it's called Golgotha, because you have this incredible, it looks like somebody carved it out, but it wasn't. It was natural, this horrible looking skull, and that's where Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified between two criminals, sinners who justly deserve to die. This emphasizes Jesus's perfect, all-surpassing, supreme sacrifice, because he was completely innocent and righteous, dying for the sinful world surrounding him. And in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus carried his own instrument of death. He carried our sins, the perfect sacrifice to satisfy the Father God's wrath towards sin. We are to carry our own crosses that we might die to sin. In Luke chapter 9, 23 through 24, it says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their lives will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it, end quote. We must die to sin and to our selfish ways. By faith, we die with Christ, and by faith, we are resurrected with Christ. And then verses 19 through 22, it says this. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read the sign for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. King of the Jews in the three major languages of that time, Aramaic, Greek, and Latin. But the sign had no effect on the people. There was no mass movement of repentance or sorrow for our Lord. The chief priests of the Jews protested and wanted to change the wording so they could deny that Jesus Christ was king, was the Messiah, and is the Messiah. Pilate said, I have written what I have written. In conclusion, Pilate proclaimed Jesus innocent and tried five times to release him from being crucified. He knew it was out of jealousy that the Jewish priests and leaders wanted him to die. But he succumbed to the worldly peer pressure out of fear of rejection of the Jewish people and fear of Caesar's power. How often do we succumb to fear of rejection, fear of what the world is speaking and not being willing to speak out? We all need to repent of our sins and ask God through Jesus Christ to help us to be bold witnesses for him. For the hour is late. Jesus is coming back soon, I believe. Now soon, who knows what soon means? That could be 100 years, but I believe he's coming soon. And we need to be ready. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your words of life and truth. We pray, Father, that you might purify our hearts and our minds, our souls and our spirits, Lord God, that we might draw closer to you, Jesus, that we might be bold witnesses of your grace and your mercy and your steadfast love. And we thank you, Father, for what you are doing in our lives, what you've done today, And we pray, Father, that we grow deeper in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.